Experience holiday cheer at Tanger Outlets with savings up to 70% off your favorite brands. From fragrances to accessories and the latest styles, discover the best gifts for everyone on your list. Save big at Nike Factory Store, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Coach, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. Unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Plan your trip at Tanger.com.
I'm Commander Shepard, and this is my favorite lorecast on the Citadel.
Welcome to the Mass Effect Lorecast, the podcast where we explore the vast lore behind the Mass Effect games. Specters, welcome back to the Mass Effect Lorecast. I need to make sure I hit my unmute button. I'm Tom. Sam's going to be here in a minute. He's actually on his way back from work, but we didn't want to delay the recording of this because it is our patron chat for the month of November. And with me this week, we have Genesis and Scott and Magister, and who knows, maybe some other people pop in. Hopefully Sam will be able to join in just a few moments. But this week we are discussing, because this is our Thanksgiving week episode, what we are thankful for in Mass Effect or from BioWare or kind of in and around those topics. It's a very open topic. And I know there's probably like lots of things we're thankful for, but we have to kind of narrow it down to have a conversation about it. And welcome back, everybody. So who would like to start us off? I know the three of you pretty well. We've been doing this for a while. You've shared a lot of different things on this show so far, so I might be able to, you know, hazard some guesses here about what things you're most thankful for in Mass Effect. But who would like to kick us off? Anybody? I'm just going to stare at the screen in silence until somebody raises their hand. Oh, Scott, there we go. It worked. I pressured you. It was the pressure.
Your pressure, man.
Yeah. Welcome back, by the way. How are you doing?
I'm good. Getting ready for my busy time of the year. So
yeah, you get busier in the holidays.
I do. Part of my job. Advent is busy for me. So
nice. Okay. Well, hopefully that goes well. When it comes to Mass Effect, what are you thankful for?
Well, I got two things. The first one is like all the background stuff that makes the game so great, where you can interact with people in the background of various games. And like we talked about in another episode, you know, Michael, Rebecca, like carries through even more than just Mass Effect 1 or whatever. But it's so frustrating in a lot of games where like, people are talking and you just like have to walk by them and you're like, why even have them talk if I can't interact with them at all?
Yeah.
So it's kind of, I'm thankful for the opportunity to have the game be richer for some of those things that kind of, you know, continue on in the background. But then the campy response is that I'm thankful for the Citadel DLC, because I just love that thing, man. It is so fun to play. It is, the dialogue in it is fantastic. If you could make an entire Mass Effect game that is just nothing but the squad ripping on each other the entire mission about being bad shots or shooting all the shots, how Shepard talks, I mean, I would play the hell out of that thing because it is so fun. I'm so thankful that they made that DLC and gave it to us.
Yeah, I've heard it described many times as a love letter to the fans. Do you think... I feel like it's the sort of thing that pays off. Like the reason it comes at the end is because it pays off from all, like all the stuff before it is really what it pays off in that episode. It's kind of like, you know, there's certain TV shows will do something like that. And we've talked about this before, like in a later season, they'll have an episode where they make fun of like the typical things a certain character does or the tropes that the show uses or those kinds of things. I feel like it's the equivalent of that. Do you think that they could have done an entire game that did a lot of that? Or would it have been spread out too much? Would it have been gone too far? What do you think? Or is it possible? Like, could we have the next Mass Effect game and maybe certain characters return and you can incorporate some of that sort of, I don't know, tone and dialogue and situations? What do you think?
I mean, I feel like it would have to be in universe right? Mm-hmm. Like, I guess that's why it works. If it's a brand new game, unless it is the same characters, if you don't have, as a player, if you don't have that depth of knowing those characters, journeying through the games with them, romancing them, you know, whatever it is, it doesn't hit the same. If they make a joke and you're like, I don't know anything about you, it probably doesn't land the same as, you know, the way it does in the Citadel DLC, where you have Rex making jokes about being a Krogan and like airdropping onto shuttles and stuff that you wouldn't otherwise get. So, I mean, if it was people you knew, it could probably be like the final game of a series, but to have it be like just a standalone game, it probably would be kind of weird tonally.
Yeah, but like, let's assume that the next Mass Effect game does pick up where the other ones leave off, and some of those characters come back. You know, you get Liara, seems like a solid guess. I would, you know, maybe Garrus. Like, I would imagine you would probably have a few of them show back up. We were talking Dragon Age before we started, right? I know that there are some characters that show back up in the most recent Dragon Age that have been in other Dragon Ages. Do you think you could do that for some of those characters as like fan service for people who are in the know, but people who are new? Then it just, like you were talking about, like when you walk past a character and they are having conversations in the background around you, and some of that stuff continues from one game to another, right? Like, it creates this depth to the world. An in-joke is kind of a similar thing. It creates depth to the world. And if you don't know the joke yet, then it just might go over your head. You may not get the reference, but then when you play it again or go back through the series and then play it again, you can go, oh, I didn't catch that the first time. It creates some depth. Do you think that's possible? Maybe.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I can imagine if Quarians are in the game, they could be talking about, you know, you remember how great Admiral Talizora was? And you'd be like, yeah, that's right. She was great, you know, or whatever. So
right. She was one of my favorite companions. That's right. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, this is fun. I think this is, you've kind of touched on a few different topics here. Let's open this up. Let's, Magister or Genesis, do you guys, I feel like you probably have some things you want to throw into this conversation. Anybody else? Jen, I saw you're unmuting.
Yeah, I fully agree with Scott. Oh my gosh. The background conversations that you get to follow through and listen, and the fact that those conversations change every time that you walk into the room and you can play out a full story. The one that you guys did was about the Tiptree and Joker's sister and listening to that Asari conversation. I had only gone into the hospital a couple of times just to do the missions required in there. So I picked up bits and pieces of that conversation. But the fact that it continues on and goes on and you get this whole story that I had no idea about.
Yeah.
Like, that's amazing.
Yeah, with a conclusion, like an actual narrative arc. Like somebody had to write that whole thing and incorporate it in there with the hope that some small percentage of the audience would pick up on it, you know, or a podcast like ours years later would go, hey, did you ever notice if you stop and listen that this is what happens here? I think there's something of true value for game developers incorporating things knowingly into the game that a majority of the players will miss. And because that's the real world, right? Like, how many times have you driven down the road past something and then one day you look over and notice that's something's on the side of the road and you're like, wait, how long has that been there? It's been there the whole time. That's the way the world works, you know? And that's part of what makes these worlds feel real, you know?
Magister? And then fully agreed. Citadel DLC is my favorite. I love all of the little fun companion quests that you get to do. It's amazing.
Yeah, fully agree. And especially being able to see Shepard in some not so serious situations, I think is also a fun dynamic. You know, like kind of turning the seriousness of the series on its head.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, Magister, did you have something you wanted to add?
Oh, yeah, I definitely enjoy the threading of the needle throughout each of the games. Like, the fact that you get to see things that ebb and flow from the very beginning. Like, I know Mass Effect 1, there was that one shady woman who was like, hey, can you take care of these two crime lords that are like, they're threatening me, and you need to, I need you to take care of them. And then slowly but surely you take care of both of them, then you realize that she's the actual like big boss crime lord, and you can like decide to like spare her at that point. And then all of a sudden in Mass Effect 2, I think you come across her later on. And one of the things that like reason why it stuck out to me so much is because the people who didn't get the chance to play Mass Effect 1 for like PlayStation and them, if you did the comic book, that didn't come up. Oh. Like she never appeared because yeah. you never really got to make that choice in episode in the first game.
Right, right. The comic book where you choose the choices you made in the previous game. So like if
correct.
For people who don't know, because a lot of people at this point who have gotten into the game since then have played Legendary Edition, kind of just gone through in order. But if you picked up two without playing one, there was the option to look through what was effectively a comic book with different choices. And you could say, okay, this is what my Shepard did here, this is what my Shepard did here. But what you're explaining is that there's little gaps in that so that you wouldn't mm-hmm. have experienced that. Yeah.
So just being able to see that come through, or Conrad, like, my God, the payoff for a Conrad at the very end is just peak. Like you have him, you encourage him throughout the whole time through. And then you also could potentially hook him up with, can't remember her name off the top of my head, girl in your ship.
It's Jenna. She hooks up with Jenna.
So it's just it's really cool seeing all those threadbares and seeing them come to fruition. And not gonna lie, when I heard you say think about Admiral Tally, depending on how far in the future the game is, just seeing like that come to fruition and then like have an in memoriam for Admiral Tally, that hurt my heart. But at the same time, like you did that. You helped that. She's not just a runaway street urchin. She became top brass,
a leader
of her people.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, dude, I didn't even think about that. If you go far enough in the future, you're going to like potentially have people talking about the passing of certain characters and what they did in the rest of their life after the experience they had with you on the Normandy and those kinds of things. You're going to have like, it didn't occur to me that like, You might end up on a mission with whatever character you're playing as. We still don't know who you will be in this game, but you might end up on a mission, let's say going to visit a specific race or a specific location, and then visiting a graveyard and being like, here lies the body of this person. And that it's kind of weird as the player, because if you're playing as someone other than Shepard, you have the memories of being Shepard as the player. Like, it's kind of meta. And so you will have an emotional reaction to that. I guess it's like watching a series of movies or TV shows where like the POV changes throughout the episodes or whatever. It's kind of similar to that. But yeah, it hadn't occurred to me that like, oh man, a moment like that like hits you in the feels, you know, even though your character may not understand the level of importance or have the personal connection. That's really cool.
Imagine if there was like a prequel to Starfield, and when you're walking through that museum, you see like your companions. That one museum in at the big city. I'm horrible with words right now, I apologize. But imagine your characters walking through on that new game, and it's just like, oh, I remember that person. Oh, I remember that group. It'd be similar to that.
Yeah, or you know, tell me the story of so and so. And mm-hmm. like you hear somebody summarize it, or what would even be worse is like somebody summarizes, oh, tell me the story of Garrus, and somebody summarizes the of the Archangel. But like someone who's like not a fan is like, yeah, he was a vigilante and blah, blah, blah. And like gives you like the shady, like crappy version of the story. And then you, the player, are like, no, he's more than that. don't you say that about Garrus. Like, oh, so there's so much potential. I hadn't really thought about that level. Like, it seems obvious, right? Like, I feel kind of dumb for being like, well, yeah, but on that level, it really hits you a different way. But it really, really does. Like, I don't know. Man, this could go into, we always kind of fall into this like speculation about the next game kind of thing. But this is fun. It's fun to just get lost in this stuff. But Scott, like we've kind of gone down these rabbit trails from where you started. You have any other thoughts or anything else you want to share?
Yeah, I was just thinking like, you kind of brought that up, but the parallel is like in Avatar: The Last Airbender, when there's the Ember Island players that do the very like the horrible rendition. If you've seen the show, but there's the horrible rendition of the Avatar show, journey.
But I get the reference.
And having seen it, you're like mad the whole time.
Yeah.
So it would be kind of funny if there is that element in like whatever it is, like which is like a nod to the player, but it's like, that's not how that happened. It's like, that's how we're going to tell you it happened. Like, don't do that to me.
Right.
But
would you feel the same way if they were telling like false stories about Shepard? Or for some reason, if you're going to talk bad about like Tally or Garrus or Liara or somebody like that, I'm just like, no, they're my friends. But if you talk bad about me, it's more of just like, you're an idiot.
I think it'd be funny because like you guys, like you said, like, you know, the thing about like Mass Effect layering things into the games, BioWare layering things into the games, right?
Yeah.
That we're thankful for. And I think it'd be funny if they do that in a way where it's like, if they have to canonize certain things, but then they layer in like, this guy's like, well, I heard Shepard did this, and that's like a different option that they didn't canonize.
Oh yeah.
But then you're sitting there like, oh, that's a funny nod. Like, so they could find ways to be like, the guy's like, and some other guy's like, that's bullshit, that's not how it happened or whatever.
Right.
And then they're arguing at the bar with you or whatever. Like, that could be really funny. But BioWare does that so well, right? Where they layer those things into their games and like nod to themselves and reference themselves. And
yeah. Oh, I heard Shepard punched Hackett in the face. That never happened. You know, like, yeah, weird stuff like that. Very cool. Very cool. This is a great way to start it. Thank you for sharing that with us. Who would like to go next? Jen? Magister? I saw some pointing.
Magister? I can go next.
Yeah, go for it.
I have a couple of things, but one of the main things that I'm thankful for is just my love and appreciation for choice-based games. I know a lot of people, when they start off with their type of RPGs and video games that they played for in the past, it was a lot of people would drift to the JRPGs. So that's kind of like their framework and how a good RPG is built. But for me, my first RPG diving into was Knights of the Old Republic.
Classic BioWare.
And being able to dive into these stories and characters and seeing how your decisions will affect your companions, the world around you, as well as maybe even your own physical form. Seeing those type of things just really like stirred something in me to the point where I became an avid BioWare fan, like going from Star Wars 1 and 2, Knights of the Republic 1 and 2, going into Jade Empire, Mass Effect, Dragon Age, just really like diving into all these things and seeing these great stories to the point where I'm glad because I could miss out on things like Baldur's Gate or not the proper term for that one, but Fable or all these other games where if I was just the average, and not saying anything against dude bros or anything like that, but being the average like Call of Duty head or Madden head or things like that, like it gave me an appreciation to be able to like really absorb and enjoy these type of games to the point where now we're getting these like truly epic games coming through and being able to just be able to latch into them and experience them.
Yeah, it's an appreciation for story and character and those kinds of things, as opposed to mechanics and competition. And different gamers have different feelings about this. I actually had a conversation with my son. He's 14 years old, and he plays a lot of Overwatch and Sea of Thieves and these very mechanics-based games with very minimal storytelling while you're playing the game. I mean, they have these worlds and there's reasons for things happening, but the lore is very secondary to the, you know, like, get on the point, shoot the bad guy in the face, you know, like, do the thing in the moment. And I totally get that. Like, I enjoy those types of games as well, but part of the conversation was like, have you ever just wanted to be in a different world? Have you ever just wanted to feel like you were in a different place? Like, have you noticed that when you watch this type of movie or when you see me play this type of game or whatever, that it kind of transports you into a different place and the world just feels different? The rules of society are different. All of these things are different. Is that what it did for you, Magister? Did it make you feel like you were transported somewhere else?
Absolutely, because these games really like drew you into the point where they made you question things like, do I save Bastila? or do I end up killing her accidentally? Do I, who am I saving, Ashley or Caden? Am I going to sacrifice myself, or am I willing to lay down with this witch and not know
right
what's going to happen to this spawn that we create? These types of things that really like make you sit and think. Like, I still remember the first time that I played Mass Effect and I had that Caden and Ashley scenario, and I was probably staring at the TV for probably a half an hour. Like, I'm a teenager at this point. Like,
right.
When I have to like choose who's going to live and who's going to die, I'm gonna have to make this call. Thank God there wasn't a timer; that would have been awful.
Oh dear! Oh just, dear God! Yes, that. Oh my
it,
God!
It dragged you in, and it mm-hmm. caused you to like really live in these worlds.
Yeah, what I hear you saying is that it's the moral and philosophical questions that it causes you to ask yourself that are so gripping, that they're kind of the meat of that. Is it's like taking if anybody's ever sat in a philosophy class and you take the question about like the train's going down the tracks and it's going to run over one person, but if you pull the lever, it's going to run over this other person, and this is what you know about this person, this is what you know about this person, would you pull the lever, you know, like that kind of thing. And those are moral implications that most human beings will never be in the situation to have to pull the lever on a train track, but there will be times in your life where you have to choose to do or not do something, and you have to think about the ramifications of, well, who will this affect, you know? And it can be as something as simple as just, you know, like, what do I spend my money on, or am I willing to take care of this family member and this is the situation because they're getting older, you know, or whatever. Like, those are the kind of the more real situations. But in games like this, you actually get to play through those decisions. Like, okay, I have to pick, I can only save one, who do I save and why? And there's very rarely just like the right choice. And even if it feels like there's a right choice, you end up being you end up questioning that. You're like, this seems too easy. Like, is this really the right choice? And sometimes it's not, you know? Yeah, I can totally see how that plays into it. And that becomes the thing that really pulls you in. Yeah. So let's open this up. Scott, Genesis, you guys, how do you feel about this stuff? Are you thankful for this as well? We'd like to go. Jen?
I'm absolutely thankful for the decision making and those decisions having impact on the story. You know, it makes you feel like what I would choose in that moment, if I'm able to choose something similar to what I feel I would actually do. And then seeing how that would play out, I think that that's a huge reason to be thankful for the way that these games play. And even more so when those decisions can carry over from game to game. I was a little bit faster on the draw on who I was going to save, Ashley or Caden. Some of the, like, for me, one of the harder decisions was saving Malin's data, because that one was a little bit more of a moral quandary coming to it, because this data was gotten by very ill ways, torture and very bad things that happened to the Krogan, but the data's there, it's been retrieved.
Right.
Are you going to get rid of this scientific information that could help in the future? Or do you just take the moral stance of, oh no, this was gotten in ill ways, we're not going to use this in the future? And then I finally found out what happens if you don't save Malin's data. And that crushed me. I was like, oh, that makes Mass Effect 3 so much worse. I hate it.
Yeah. Yeah. No, but it's a good moral quandary. Quandary is the word. It's a good moral quandary because you don't know what will happen. All you have to judge the situation from is what you know in that moment. And that's just the nature of reality. We can't see the future. We can extrapolate what might happen. We can try to create some sort of sense of like what the probabilities might be. But then even then, like, sometimes things just happen and you couldn't have expected it. Like, you couldn't have predicted it, you know? Those tough questions are, like, they're spicy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. Scott, did you want to add anything?
Well, I think it's interesting how the morality around how you play the game also impacts what you do and don't get to see. You know, I think I played it the fourth time through. I finally like did sort of renegade. Like, I just have a hard time being a renegade.
Yeah.
But I like went renegade enough where like Hackett pops up. He's like, you got to go talk to this guy. And I was like, I've never seen this before. And then I like show up on some moon and then it's like, it's a trap. And then you start like killing everybody. And then Hackett's like, I knew you'd kill them all anyway. And you're, I'm like, what the hell is this? Right. And so it's interesting how there's the moral compass around how you as a player play the game does also impact what you get to see.
Yes.
Like what you experience. And I think that's so awesome that they built that in a way where you can play the game different ways, you know, and what does that do for you, to you, or whatever. But I think that's really awesome. And I love that about the games, that it gives you that ability to have that flexibility. How do you want to play it? Not just who are you leaving behind to die, but sure. Like, how do you want to be? A jerk? Are you going to punch reporters in the face? Or like, are you going to be a nice guy and, you know, tell this Krogan that there's no fish in the pond? Like, you get to make those decisions. So I think that's really cool that you have that impact on how you as the player live the game and how that changes the game around you.
It ties back to what you were saying before, too, about how there are certain things that you just don't notice or don't get to notice, depending on the decisions that you make, you know, and it may be as simple as slowing down and listening to the people talking on the side at the side of the room, or it might be this series of decisions that lead down this corridor of options that take you somewhere that you never would have seen before because you always made the other choices. And the fact that they're just willing to do it, like game developers know 80% of the audience is going to pick or try to do the good guy decisions. And sometimes there's debate about which is the best good guy decision, but they at least have intentions of like trying to be the good guy. And so 20% when they build out an entire separate section of a game with different choices, different dialogue, all of those things, they know only 20% of their audience is ever really going to see those unless they watch a YouTube video later or whatever, right? And so like it's like imagine being a voice actor and being like, okay, this line is like this many people are going to hear, but this line only this many people are going to hear, and just kind of knowing that in the back of your head, it's a little weird, right? But yet you do it. They do it, and that's to their credit. That's really cool. So, all right, Magister, back to you. Is there anything else you wanted to say you're thankful for?
Probably the morality-based systems as well, like being able to experience the light side, dark side, open palm, closed fist, renegade, and paragon. Kind of wish there was something like that in Dragon Age, where Dragon Age kind of, the first three, you could do some, especially the first one, you could do some outrageous stuff in it. So they made up for that anyways. Outside of that, it's just the nice moments of camaraderie that can come with it as well. Just like I mentioned, that comic book thing, the only reason why I knew about it is because my best friend in college, he was a PlayStation person, and so I was like sharing with him Mass Effect on the Xbox, and then eventually when it came, was announced for PlayStation, he decided to get that, and I got to see him do all that. So and that was just a part of our friendship, building our friendship, was just watching each other's choices and decisions from that, like that from there. So yeah, definitely thankful for a lot of the stuff that BioWare does, and hopefully they can stick around for the future and keep providing more memories.
Yeah, well, I think Dragon Age is selling well, so that bodes well. Also, the rumor about the Mass Effect TV show that seems to be in the works, that bodes well as well. So it seems like things are continuing to move forward. So, you know, fingers crossed. It's you know, hopefully they keep moving. So there you go. Well, thanks, Magister. All right, we're going to take a quick break and go thank our patrons. So don't go anywhere. And then we'll be back to talk to Genesis and see what Genesis is thankful for. So here we go.
Experience holiday cheer at Tanger Outlets with savings up to 70% off your favorite brands. From fragrances to accessories and the latest styles, discover the best gifts for everyone on your list. Save big at Nike Factory Store, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Coach, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. Unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Plan your trip at tanger.com.
Message coming in. Patching it through. I am sovereign, and this
Lorecast
is mine. I like the sound of that.
All right, here we are in the middle of the show. We've got actually a bunch of new patrons. Actually, no, I'm sorry. I'm looking at the wrong screen. We have a bunch of Shepherd tier patrons to shout out and one new patron to welcome to the Patreon. Matt Vasdima, or Vasnima. Nice name. I like it. Welcome to the Patreon. So glad that you decided to join us. And have to shout out Draco and Ed Boy, Kira C, Lieutenant Tosina, Retrobot, Superfly, and William. Thank you so much for your support as Shepherd tier patrons. You get shout outs every week. And if you would like to join us for a future chat like this or get ad-free episodes, t-shirts or stickers, there's lots of different things depending on the tier you sign up for at patreon.com/MassEffectLorecast. Go check that out. Also, there's gifting, which is super cool. You can gift patron subscriptions, which means that, Sam's joining us, and now my screen is all adjusted. I'm going to have to fix this as we go. But that means that you can actually gift a friend. So if you have a friend who enjoys the show, you can gift them a whatever subscription you want. You can pick a tier, pick however many months, gift it to them. And if you want somebody to pitch in for you, you could tell them that you would want that as a gift. So lots of cool stuff you can do there on the Patreon. Thank you to everybody for the support. Also, we've got a new review that came in. This one's nice and quick. We actually have a few. There's three of them. And Sam just joined us. Sam, welcome to the show. We're doing the mid-break. How's it going?
I am doing great. Happy that I could be here. It was a commute from hell today.
I'm sorry.
Went all the way from the Shrike Abyssal to the Horsehead Nebula. It was terrible. It took like at least 3 parsecs.
Oh, bummer. I'm readjusting my screen. Yeah, that sounds like a great commute. I've got us back on
the
screen.
There was like 2 relays out along the way.
Wow. That's quite the trip. I did not realize you were intergalactically commuting.
Cue Intergalactic by the Beastie Boys.
Intergalactic planetary. Cool, man. So we've got some reviews to read out. Here, get a load of these. These are fun. This one is from AMF99 in the US, who writes, I love the show. Great content as always. I love your show. I listen to every new episode because I have a long commute and it helps. Look at that, a commute. By the way, yes, I'm leaving my 3rd 5-star review because you guys are that awesome. Have you ever thought of a Diablo or StarCraft podcast? I don't know if you and I know enough about those, but
I don't.
That would be cool.
I mean, if there's a market for like 2 dudes who don't know shit about the lore,
I mean, like, we could learn
about it along the way.
We could learn. I like playing Diablo, and I did play StarCraft back in the day when it was like a new thing. But thank you for that review. We have this one from Matt Vasnima, who also signed up on Patreon recently from Great Britain, who writes, best podcast in the Milky Way. Hi, Sam and Tom. I came into the games late and missed a lot of the now defunct website lore. Having your episodes covering everything Mass Effect has filled in the gaps in my knowledge, added depth to the stories in the games, and made me love the Mass Effect universe even more. Keep up the good work. I should go. Very nice. Thanks, Matt. And then we have this one from N7 Ghost in the US, who writes, great stuff. Enjoyed the latest show. Glad someone is following at this level. Arguably one of the best RPG trilogies ever made. And this was left on the 20th, so it may have been the last episode we did that they're commenting on. But it's always hard when somebody just says, like, I checked out the last episode, and I'm like, I don't know which was the last episode, but okay, thanks. But appreciate it. Thank you for taking the time to do that. And if you'd like to help us out in other ways, you can rate the show on Spotify or whatever podcast you're listening to this on. You can share it with your friends. All of that stuff is super helpful, and we'd really appreciate it. But now it is time to get back to talk about things we're thankful about with Genesis. So don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
Spit it out, or are you trying to build suspense?
You're so dense, sir. Obviously, I do not know as much about human relationships as I thought.
Jen, we're back. You're up. What are you thankful for?
There's a lot to be thankful for, but when I honestly thought about what Mass Effect has done to impact my life the most, it hasn't really been the game itself, but the community surrounding it. Mm. I mean, I met my podcast partner, V, because of this Lorecast, because of the podcast, because 2 guys really, really liked Mass Effect and wanted to talk about it. I have a community of friends now from it, you know? So honestly, the best thing that's happened because of BioWare is my friends.
Oh, isn't that
weirdly applicable to the trilogy too?
That's like, what I was thinking too. It's the friends we made along the way.
It is all about the friends that we made along the way. I mean, I love Garrus, I love Jack, Tally, Miranda, all of them, but then I also add to that list Sam and Seven, the Vervada, Cloudy, Wynn, Taylor, everybody, you know. It's like I have so many friends that I have built from the starting of this game. And, you know, there's the three questions that you ask to anybody who's played Mass Effect, and then you can start a relationship just based off of those three questions.
Wait, the bang question?
Who did you save?
Oh.
Who did you romance? And what's your ending? Yeah. You start with those three questions, and you can have so many great conversations.
Mm-hmm.
So,
mm-hmm. Yeah, no, you're spot on. It really is about friendship, and that is a wonderful thing. It makes me wonder though if you could like pull any of those in-game friends out into your real world, which one would it be?
Ooh. That's interesting.
Because it's a different kind of question as to like, if I asked you, who's your favorite companion or who would be your best friend in Mass Effect? That's a different question because you're still in that universe and you're Shepard. But if Genesis could just like pull out one of them and just like pop them into your room and be like, we get to hang in IRL now, you know, like, which one?
My first instinct was Jack, but I feel like I might be intimidated by her in real life.
Right? Yeah, a little intense. Maybe Mass Effect 3 Jack?
Mass Effect 3 Jack. Garrus is over 7 feet tall and is an actual literal alien, so that might be true. Like, I don't know how much we could truly hang.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he might just have to like hide in your basement or something, and that would be weird.
Yeah.
It's an ET reference,
right? Like among the stuffed animals in the closet. You can cart him around on your bike.
My husband.
I'm sorry, Jen. What did you say? I was thinking about Garrus like, sitting on your bike in the basket.
I love that. I love that idea. If Caden showed up at my house, I'm pretty sure that might spark an argument with my husband. So,
who's this guy? Oh, he's just an old friend. Don't worry about it.
He's just a friend.
He's just a friend. Oh, baby, you. Anyway, Mashister got the reference. You guys know that song, right? Just a friend?
You say he's just a friend.
Yeah, but you got to sing it like he does. You say he's just a friend. You say he's just a friend. Oh, baby, you. Yeah, so good. So good. Okay, that's enough of my singing. So
I feel like if I were to pull out Grunt as a friend, we'd both end up getting arrested.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yes.
For something.
Yeah.
Probably property crime.
Property damage. Possibly. Oh. Possibly. All right, let's let Jen think about it. Let's open this up. I want to know what the rest of you would pick. Magister, do you have one of them you would pull out into the real world?
That is a hard one because, as stated, some of them you just don't want in your house. Like, I can't imagine Grunt, like, appearing and then, like, starting to headbutt my walls. Like,
also, bro, does he fit through a normal, like, house-sized doorway? I'm absolutely not sure not. He does. I don't think he does. Yeah.
He's wider than that.
Yeah. He's a wide boy. Yeah, for sure.
Maybe, what's her name? Sneaky Steve. Mass Effect 2. Mass Effect
3.
Kasumi. Sneaky Steve. Because we can get into some shenanigans.
Oh, okay. All right. It's going with the shenanigan pick. Scott, mm-hmm. What are you thinking?
I'd love to like hang out with Morden because I feel like he'd be fun to take to the theater.
Uh-huh, yeah.
He'd have really insightful things to say about the world around us and all the nature and beauty in it. But he'll also mess some stuff up if the occasion calls for it.
That's true. And he would stand out a lot. Like you'd have to, I don't know what you would dress up Morden in order to make sure people don't know.
Give him one of those like cloaks like the Daltras wears. So I don't know. Yeah. Take him to the opera. Go to like Don Giovanni or something. Just be like, he's just really big into the devil. Like it's
fine. he looks the most like E.T. of any one of the Mass Effect aliens, by the way.
Yeah. 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 Like maybe you could take him to like, I don't know, Goth Night somewhere and just be like, he's like super into dressing up weird. And
take morning to a rave.
Yeah, yeah. Like everyone's high anyway. They'd be like, "Whoa, look at that guy!"
Yeah, you don't want to see Morden on speed. Holy crap!
Oh, no, not at
well,
all.
Well, that's what he'd probably think. Everyone else would just move. He'd be like, "Why is everyone else trying to move as fast as me?" Right. Like, that's probably all he would think.
I did not realize humans could move close to the speed of. Like, it'd be one of those kind of comments. Yeah, this is fun. Now, let's go back to Jen. Jen, is there anything else you're thankful for? We kind of sidetracked this, but it was fun.
I think I figured it out, though. I'd take Miranda in real world.
Okay.
That would work for me.
All right. Yeah, I can see that. I can see you two hanging out.
Yeah.
What would you go do?
That and Daddy's credit card, or at least the elusive man's. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
You know, let's go shopping. Let's go do all the things. And yeah, a biotic best friend would be amazing.
That's true. That's true. What would you go buy? What would be the first thing that you go buy on that credit card? My mind went to like a sports car. Wardrobe, going clothes shopping. Like anywhere you want.
Let's do the 24-hour trip that actually makes you watch the sunrise 24 times. And then take it in reverse and watch 24 sunsets.
Weird. Okay. Quite the adventure. All right. Very cool. Very cool. Anything else you wanted to share that you were thankful about?
And I mean, I guess it does go back to the relationships and the friends you built along the way. All of the characters, all of the companions in Mass Effect have affected me in somehow, whether it's viewing the universe is through the lens of Ashley's eyes, where she can find meaning and creation in space, or viewing it through the lens of Garrus, where everything, he doesn't deal well in shades of gray, and figuring out his morality and where you want that to align with, the tender moments that you can share with the companions that can actually touch your heart and make you fall in cyber love with them. And you know, it's just, it really is about the friendships along the way.
Yes, there you go. And on that note, Finn. No, I'm kidding, we're not actually done. I just felt like that was such a touching closure to everything. But I think you've summed it up in a good way, and I think a lot of what has been discussed today has been the things that make us feel and the things that make us think. Right. Like, and the things that do both, because sometimes both happen at the same time, you know, like it's those are the moments. And those are the things that we're most thankful for. And Sammy missed out on like the first half of this. Scott and Magister talked about some really cool stuff, but you're just gonna have to go back and wait till it drops for everybody else, buddy. But
I guess so.
Well, without going over everything again, I thought it would be fun to just get your take. Like, what are you thankful for?
You know, I was thinking about this, and I think I'm most thankful for the mechanics from the original trilogy that allowed us to carry over our choices from 1 to 2 and 2 to 3, because that was so unique for a game series at the time, let alone having so many choices within the same game that you can make that would change the ending. And then, you know, you tell players, okay, well, by the way, those choices, you're going to import them into the next game.
Right.
And then the next game. That was just so groundbreaking.
And to iterate every 2 years on another game, like, we've spoken to some of the developers. We know firsthand from them how grueling and difficult that was, and yet they pulled it off.
Oh, yeah. And just the sheer writing task and how that translates to cinematics and animations and pretty much every other aspect of the game in trying to program and account for a growing list of possible choice combinations. The permutations were increasing exponentially along the way, and yet they still attempted to do the impossible, like Shepard. So the irony there is palpable, but I think it's given us one of the most iconic trilogies in all of gaming.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think that's a solid one. If I was to, you know, I was thinking about this before we started the episode, and I was like, okay, what am I most thankful for? And, I started to zoom in on certain things, but then I backed up and I was like, wait a minute. Imagine the last 15 years without the Mass Effect games. How many other killer sci-fi RPGs have there been? Like, how many can you think of? Like, we had Starfield release recently, but like, other than that, like, there's maybe some Star Wars stuff has come out. There's just not a lot. And there's definitely nothing that has done what Mass Effect did, you know? So like, just from that standpoint of like, we were feasting good, you know, like this, like if you're a fan of sci-fi and RPGs and your choices mattering and really interesting characters and fun gameplay, all of the elements, all of that together just does, it's really hard to find anything else that does that. And so it's this like singular thing that exists, and it did. And it's kind of magical to have been able to live through a time where that was a thing, you know, and hopefully continues to be a thing. But like, I'm thankful for that. That's really cool.
So, yeah, absolutely. I can't think of a single other sci-fi RPG like the Mass Effect series.
Nothing quite comes close. Like, there's other games, there's other sci-fi games, but nothing that goes, like, if you didn't get to play, if Mass Effect never existed, this would be a good replacement. Not really. There's really not anything there. So, thanks BioWare. Thanks for the hard work. We appreciate it. Well, that's going to do it for this episode. Thank you, everybody, for joining us. And patrons, thank you for joining us. Let's go back through, everybody, and feel free to share other stuff you've got going out on, you know, put out into the world or whatever. You know how this works. Jen, let's start with you. We're just going to go down the screen from my view.
Yeah, I am Genesis, one half of the Two Girls, One Ship podcast, where we analyze, rate, and review all that the world of video game romances has to offer. We are currently wrapping up our Mass Effect Andromeda season. Mm. So if you wanted to find out more about the Andromeda romances, those episodes are out right now.
Mm-hmm. When are you doing Veilguard?
That will be Dragon Age Summer. So summer of 2025.
Okay, so what is that? 9 months from now?
Like starting in, yeah.
8 months from now?
We're giving it a little bit of time. Yeah. I'm already on my second playthrough. I have two more after that planned out.
Nice. So. Nice. Awesome. Yeah, go check it out. Go check it. If you like the romances, if that's what you like in Mass Effect, you're going to like their show. It's super cool.
Yeah. And I also have my other show of the Cyberpunk Lorecast with Toasty, where we talk about the foundations of the past, the state of Night City today, and the news of future for all things cyberpunk.
Nice. Yeah, go check it out. There's, if you're listening to this on a podcatcher, you can just look those up. They'll come right up and you'll be able to find them, or go to robotsradio.net. Thanks, Jen. All right, let's talk to Scott. Scott, you got anything you want to share?
Just busy working and parenting, and I think that's plenty enough on the plate as it is.
That's good. Those are good things to do. Yes. But thank you for taking the time to join us.
Hey, the kids are asleep, so this is perfect.
Awesome. Yeah, stay asleep, kids. Well, thanks for being here. Magister, anything you want to share?
Magister DeVita? No, nothing at this current moment. Hopefully next month I have something currently cooking in the back burner, so mention it then, but always a pleasure to come on to the Mass Effect Lorecast, and feel free to hit me up if you want to discuss anything. Like I said, currently playing Veilguard, so yeah.
Awesome. Thanks, dude. Thanks for being here. Sam, it's just you and me. We're wrapping it up. Anything you want to share before we go?
Yeah, I was also thinking about it. I think anyone I'd pull out of the game, it'd be Zaid. I want to take Zaid to the bar and then just hear about his stories. Yeah, I'm streaming every Saturday still. I did finish my Ked Canon playthrough of the original trilogy that was on in 7 Day. But now I'm rotating between Ghost of Tsushima and Baldur's Gate 3 for my Saturday streams. I'm trying to stream as often as I can, but, you know, with 3 hours total commute on the road every day, it is simply not possible unless I want to neglect other parts of my life, which I don't want to. So anyway, you can follow me on Twitch, not Twitter anymore. because I am deactivating my account.
That is a dumpster fire.
It is a complete dumpster fire. If you want to follow me on social media, you can follow me on Twitch or Blue Sky at N7 The Legend.
Yep. Yeah. So. I've got stuff on Blue Sky also because Twitter is. I haven't removed those accounts yet, but I'm on there less and less. I was going to make a joke about you could stream while driving. You could just like put a laptop in the passenger seat and just like talk to the audience while you drove. Keep it company.
Yeah, that's an exciting stream. Yeah. Watch me crash my car in 4K.
But people would do it. That would do it. Oh, and then it occurred to me I didn't say who I would pull out of the games in real life.
Yeah, who would you pull out of?
When you say it like that, it kind of changes the meaning.
I don't know what you mean.
So if I was to take one of the companions and remove them from the game and put them into the real world, we'll say it that way.
Ah, okay, ah, there yes. There you go.
I would pick Shepard because I would want to have a conversation with Shepard about, hey, how did I do?
on being Shepard?
On being like, yeah, like... I was controlling you the whole time. How did that go? Did I make the choices that you wanted me to make? Like, what would you have done?
Wouldn't that be, in essence, an echo chamber?
I suppose, unless that Shepard has, like, some sense of, like, what they, like we're somehow cramming their consciousness into their own body, like, back into their brain, where they're, like, trapped in the situation and just watching it happen. That's so messed up.
You know what? Anderson. I would want to talk with Anderson.
There you go. Yeah, Anderson would be cool. I'd go get a drink with Anderson. Yeah, for sure. But there you go. That's the show. You guys know where my stuff is, robotsradio.net. I do a bunch of lorecasts and stuff. You know how it works. And thank you for tuning in. I hope you have a wonderful Thanksgiving if you're celebrating Thanksgiving in the U.S. If you're not, eat turkey. Eat some turkey. You can have Thanksgiving. There's no rules. You could just eat the food, too, and have family over. You could do that. But have a wonderful week, and we'll be back next week, just like normal. So until then, stay safe out there and think about it. Who would you pull out of the video? No, I'm not going to say it again. All right. Bye, everybody.
Thanks for tuning into the Mass Effect Lorecast. We'd love to hear your opinion and thoughts on the lore of Mass Effect. Reach out to us on Twitter at Mass Effect Cast or check out the Robots Radio Discord. Also, you can send us an email at masseffectlorecast@gmail.com.
Experience holiday cheer at Tanger Outlets with savings up to 70% off your favorite brands. From fragrances to accessories and the latest styles, discover the best gifts for everyone on your list. Save big at Nike Factory Store, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Coach, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. Unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Plan your trip at tanger.com.